Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you realize the true transformation as promised in Romans 12:2. We address the topic of avoidant personality disorder and related conditions. Does criticism destroy you? Do you feel rejected by everyone, or do you feel all alone in the world? Do you feel as if everyone is better than you or everyone is watching? If this describes you, this podcast is for you. If this describes someone close to you, this podcast is for you. This is a space to share experiences, ask questions, support one another, and begin to find healing and hope through the renewing of your mind.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up.
And now, here are your hosts, Philip and Rebecca Dacus.
Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day. So tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me.
Hey, welcome to everyone that's out there, whether you're listening to us live or you're listening to the recording when that's done. Either one, I'm very happy that for anyone that is listening, whether you be whether you have avoidant personality or you're in the shoes of the normal that is trying to be in a relationship with someone that has avoidant personality, both are more than welcome and both will receive a lot of help from this podcast. This is exactly why I put this together, is because avoidant personality is something that, like most, I was born with, and through various things that happened in my life made it a lot worse, and now I have come out of it. You know, my wife and I, which she's here today, we had a little bit of discussion before I started here on, you know, what it's like going through avoidant personality, because it's not fair. It's definitely not fair to the normal, the one that's been in that relationship. It's hard. It's beyond hard. And well, what were you asking me?
Well, you had mentioned that you had some people email in about things, and you clearly get a lot of emails from people that are dealing with being the normal in the relationship, and how do you make it work? And I asked you, do you look at what they say that the avoidant is doing, and do you think, wow, they just need to get over it, or they're being irrational? And you said no. And then I said, well, how do you feel towards the person who's writing you? Do you just think, you know, it's not a big deal to that person?
And I think that's a wonderful discussion and a wonderful thing, because it's, as somebody that's come out of avoidant personality, I look at emails, and first of all, I do get emails from people all over the world, and I love hearing from people. People that are avoidant personality, people that are normals, trying to deal with that person that has avoidant personality. I love getting emails. I get contacts from people all over the world, which is the first lie that I want to dispel. And because being in the midst of avoidant personality disorder, we often think that we're alone, that we're it. That we're the only person in the entire world that's messed up, that can't make it work, that can't get her act together. And that's a complete and total lie, because there's millions of people all over the world that suffer from this disorder. It's just a matter of getting those statistics, which are difficult because, you know, guess what? People with avoidant personality avoid, you know, go figure, right? So it's hard to get some people to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, yeah, I've got avoidant personality, when all they want to do is just hide in the background and not be seen or known. Going back to what Rebecca had said about the normal, yeah, I definitely go out. My heart goes out to more so the normal person, because they have to put up with that person that has avoidant personality disorder. But having been on that side, the one with the disorder, it's something that you can't just get over. It's not like you can just flip a switch and you're better, or you can flip a switch and change. It's not that simple. It's a very complicated disorder. So the person that's in the midst of the avoidant personality, they want to change. It's somewhere in their minds and their hearts, even if it's way back buried in there somewhere, they want to change, but they can't. It's just not possible. It's just, it's like they're in this dark cave or dark pit and the light isn't there. It's not like they see a light in the distance. They see no light whatsoever. And they're struggling to try and find their way out of this pit. And in this total darkness, it's just not possible. They're stumbling around and eventually they just give up and they cower down in the corner and they decide, hey, this is my life. This is it. This is as good as it gets. So I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to lay down and die, basically. Not to put too fine a point on that, but unfortunately, that's the reality of how hard this disorder can be. It can be something where you just want to go crawl under a rock and pull that over you and see nobody or nothing. And, you know, I'm not making excuses. I'm definitely not, because there is always hope. There's always healing. It can be found. I'm living proof of this. But I also understand how difficult it is and how much that person is trying, but they can't. Does that make sense?
I guess since I lived it, I get it, but it's really hard to describe. I guess maybe you continuing to reiterate it just verifies maybe with the other person or resounds with the other person that it is really hard. It point blank, it is just really, really hard. So to be on the normal side, I think it's incredibly unfair. Absolutely. And my heart goes out to that side more than ever, because life's hard enough. And then when you have somebody that can't seem to make it over that hurdle, it's like you're pulling dead weight. And all you can do is hope for a miracle. And on one hand, you don't want to give up. But on the other hand, you don't know how much further you can keep dragging this and without destroying yourself. And so we had also mentioned before we started this tonight that even though you can make strides, I mean, you have made strides from before, you know, like before we got married, even, you know, over the last year, there's still patterns in your life. Just like you were saying with the alcoholic, they would continue to, you know, make sure that they stay away from alcoholism, away from alcohol. And just like with somebody who's coming out of it and finding some success and victories with dealing with the depression that might fall within the avoidant personality disorder, or just the social anxiety, the relational issues, you know, you're coming out of it, but sometimes the patterns have worn so thick in your own mind, your own memory, that you're constantly battling that as well. So it's not something that you need to take too light at all.
And that's one of the things that I talk on quite a bit, because we tend to get this, I don't know if it's the church, the movies, whatever, that tells us this instantaneous change. And I'm not saying that God can't change instantaneously and heal you instantaneously. He definitely can. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. But more often than not, there's some work required. The example I give is, say, if you smoked before you became a Christian, guess what? After you became a Christian, you were probably a Christian that smoked. If you had difficulty with, say, pornography before you became a Christian, you were probably a Christian that struggled with pornography, and on and on and on, fill in the blank with the disorder. Now, that's not saying that God can't heal those things instantly, and he certainly does, but a lot of the times there is work that's required, and there's reasons behind that, because there's good things that come out of going through a process, through putting in work, through these are good things that you can learn. Whereas if a lot of the times, if God just waved his magic wand and poof, you're healed, you might not entirely appreciate what it took to get that healing because you got it so quickly. Now, again, I have to give that disclaimer that God can certainly do that. And he does do it. He certainly does every single day. But especially when it comes to something like avoidant personality, more often than not, it seems like there's a journey that's required. And I feel for the normal person, I give no bones to that whatsoever. I completely agree. It's not fair. Not fair at all, because the person that's the normal has to carry the weight of making it work.
I feel like you touched on something a little bit ago that you said, you know, if you're struggling before you became a Christian, before you asked Jesus into your life, then you, on the other side of that, you're still probably going to struggle with it. And I think really what all of this entails, probably one of the biggest crux of the matter, is when you're going through this journey with somebody with avoidant personality disorder, is it's a matter of the heart. And I think it goes to the avoidant person too. You know, it's a heart matter. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus has to get in there and change your heart. And I would encourage anybody who's going through a relationship that's so difficult, and you know, you hope that when you grow up and you marry somebody, you're gonna fall in love with somebody that is emotionally available, someone who, you know, makes you feel really good about who you are, and someone who can be your partner, take the lead, you know, just cherish you and that type of thing. And a lot of times that just really doesn't happen in this relationship. And there's a really, really difficult struggle that will go on in your own heart between being angry at that person, being frustrated with that person, being, I know for me, I just found myself wanting to just say, you know, this isn't worth it. During our marriage, I had people that had, you know, propositioned me, people that had said, you know, I see how he treats you, you know, why are you with him? You deserve better. And, you know, within that, you have to guard your heart too, you know. So if you're in that relationship, one of the first things is if you don't know the Lord, you need to call upon him and ask him into your life to help you and give you strength, give you wisdom, give you what you need out of that. And if you are in a relationship with God, then you need to ask for his strength and his wisdom, and also that he guards your heart, because this is something that can become completely ugly. And I speak from my own experience in it, that it becomes so ugly. You're expecting something out of your spouse, which I think is completely and 100% valid. You should be able to be in a marriage relationship with your spouse and in that, within the confines of your marriage, be able to expect certain things out of it. So when you're not receiving that, it's really easy to let your heart become hardened.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy for you to start hating just everything about life. I'm just speaking from this side of the microphone, but as the normal in the relationship, it took such a toll on us because their lack of self-respect for themselves will eventually bleed over to you. And I was a pretty strong person before I became married. And then after I got married, there's like a spiritual exchange, you know, because of our unity, that, you know, I began to just not see myself in that good light, and having yucky feelings towards myself. And I just think it's really critical that if the person is going to choose to be in that relationship, you need to get pretty clear very fast and be pretty wise about what's happening, that it is a battle. It is a battle that can be won, but not by yourself.
Exactly. And this is exactly why we're doing this podcast, because we want to reach out and provide people with help and healing and hope that have little or in some cases none. We want to be there because it is very difficult. And I wanted to go over just a few things for anybody that's new listening, a little bit about what avoidant personality is. Avoidant personality is a very complex disorder of the mind. What I typically tell people that it's like a container, you know, the containers that you put your leftovers in. Maybe you have various things in there. You have beans and potatoes and, you know, what have you in this container after you've opened it up. Well, avoidant personality disorder is similar to that. It's really encompasses a host of different things, like major depression, social anxieties, phobias, fear of people, fear of authority figures, on and on and on, extreme shyness, and highly sensitive to rejection. These things, everybody has these little things. Everybody has a little shyness now and then. Everybody has a little anxiety now and then. Everybody has a little bit of these various fears of authority or whatever. But for the one that has avoidant personality, these things take on a completely new level of difficulty. It's so debilitating that they have trouble even functioning. You typically find people in avoidant personality, if they have a job at all, it's probably a job working from home. If they have any friends at all, and probably don't have any at all, but if they have any, they're on a very small scale and very shallow, if they have any at all. When it comes to relationships, typically avoidant personalities, well, as the word says, they avoid, so they typically do not have relationships with boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage. There are a few that certainly try, and my hat's off to you for trying that. And there are some out there. In fact, there's quite a few out there that are trying to be in this relationship, but it is difficult. Avoidant personality usually have a lot of difficulty in any social situations. So, for example, a normal person would want to go out to eat with friends. Well, the person with avoidant personality disorder they might try. They might even call up their friends and say, hey, let's do this, maybe. But often they won't even go because something will come up. They'll make an excuse, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because they can't put themselves in a situation where they feel like they're going to be rejected. Everything, a single thing they say, they have fear that it's going to come under scrutiny, that's going to be rejected, that they're...
And it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, honestly, that everything that you have ever dealt with in our situation is you end up, you know, people, they don't want to be around it because they see how uncomfortable it can be. And so really it comes down to trying to maneuver that.
Well, it's a... I guess the best way to describe it is between a rock and a hard place. You want with everything in you to get out there and be loved by people, to be social, but at the same time, you don't because of that fear. It's just so overwhelmingly powerful that you can't. It's just impossible to overcome. The self-esteem is just so incredibly low that you feel like everybody hates you, everybody's better than you. That there's absolutely nothing you can do to rise above your circumstance, to better yourself.
I feel like this is kind of a bummer of a of a show. And so I kind of want to interject there that if you, I remember through the years trying really hard to, you know, let's go get some counseling. Well, that doesn't necessarily work. So if you're really going to try to do anything to help the person that has avoidant personality disorder, I definitely recommend getting them into a situation where they, and they may or may not, I don't know, get help through an antidepressant. You know, just chatting with a doctor about taking the edge off a little bit. But then other things like exercise, other things like I always wanted you to do something like martial arts or something where it was like an individual type sport, but really something that would empower you, something that would make you feel, you know, give you some self-esteem. And although that never really happened, you know, there are some practical things out there, and maybe you can just do your best to bring some things up and have, as the normal person, have the ability to be objective about it, that it's hard to say this because it makes no sense, but how that person is treating you is not about you. It's about what they're going through. And that's hard because in a relationship, you should be able to expect it to be about both of you. But I would say, I don't know, probably at least 75 to 85% of the time it's going to be about that other person.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the best analogies I like to give a lot of the time is in a normal relationship, you have two people that come together and they have disagreements from time to time. Everybody has them. It's completely normal. But in a normal relationship, you have some give and take. The one person will say something, you know, whatever. You're messy. You're leaving clothes on the floor, what have you. And the other person comes back and says, they defend themselves maybe and say, oh, I'm sorry I left them on the floor, or I didn't mean to leave them on the floor, or somebody else did it, or whatever. The point is just that there's some back and forth. There's some a normal fighting relationship. There's two people that have like a boxing ring. They share blows with each other. They trade blows, rather. But and that's how a fight, any normal fight, really progresses. Two people share some blows. One person eventually says they're sorry. They make up. Life is good. They move on. That's how things work in a normal, mature, healthy relationship. But in a normal versus person with avoidant personality disorder, that dynamic totally changes because you're dealing with one person that that is quote unquote normal, that has the little quirks perhaps, but for the most part they're perfectly normal and don't have these issues. You have the other person in the other corner of the ring that has no sense of self. They have no self-worth. They are completely bogged down by senses of rejection, by fear, by all these other things. So anytime somebody comes at them with a blow, instead of fighting back, they just hide off in the corner and cower, and they
nothing gets resolved.
Can't function. So things don't get resolved.
Everything
in fact,
ends up being pushed under the rug.
And things get a lot worse because mm-hmm. that person with avoidant personality just isn't capable of carrying on a normal traditional relationship or a normal traditional argument or fight. That's just, they can't. It's, and exactly right, it's not fair, but unfortunately, it's just the way it is. Now, I always struggle between the two things, not being overly negative, because avoidant personality is a terrible thing. It's extremely debilitating, et cetera, et cetera. It's bad. But I don't want to just leave it there. I don't want to get too negative. And Rebecca's always really good at reeling me back in on that. That's why we're a good team, because I can tend to be a little bit overly negative sometimes and Debbie Downer that, oh, life is bad and this is horrible and just give up, which is definitely not the purpose of this and definitely not the case, because there's always hope and there's always healing and there's always things you can do to get out of this. It's just, it takes time. But
and it takes boundaries, and I think that it's perfectly acceptable for the person that's normal to say, I'm not going to put up with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to insist on it being that way, if you are not going to get help, because that's what happened with you, you wouldn't get help for a really long time.
Right.
And I got to the point where I said, I can't do this anymore. I've been patient. I've been long suffering, and I just can't continue to put myself in that position of pain anymore. I think that it's important for the normal person to realize that if you have to draw that boundary for yourself, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not a loving, kind person. It just means that everybody has their limits. And I guess in our situation, me finally saying I can't do this anymore was really an instrument of me, you know, exercising my own self-worth and mm-hmm. saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. And then as a result of that, it pushed you into this mode. And I feel like in our marriage, we did a lot of me being your crutch. And when that crutch wasn't there like it used to be, that's when, you know, the Lord really did a work in your heart.
You know, there's a, I wouldn't necessarily call this a terrible thing, but it's not exactly a great thing either. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we can get out. That's just the way things are sometimes, especially when you have something as difficult as avoidant personality. Sometimes it really takes a waking experience. You've hit that rock bottom and you said, wow, I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose what friends I had, which in my case were none. And
wanting to end your own life.
And yeah, to that place where you just want to end things. So you finally have to get to that place. And I did, where, you know, gee, this is not an option. I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose all these things. I don't want to self-destruct. I want to get out. And that's the place where the person with avoidant personality kind of has to get to. It has to get to that place where you're so desperate for help mm-hmm. that you're going to start reaching out. You start reaching to God. You start reaching to myself and Rebecca for help. Wherever you need to reach to, that's where you need to reach to, as long as it's not a destructive thing like alcohol or drugs or something crazy like that. You need to get to that place where it's time to get help. It's time to start getting there, because you don't want to wind up heading down that road of self-destruction, whatever form that road takes, whether it be drugs or alcohol or even suicide or whatever. Don't go there. That's not the answer. That won't help anybody. It'll only make things worse. You've got to get to that place where, okay, let's get some help. Let's figure this thing out.
And it's not usually that simple, though.
No, it's not that simple. And I definitely don't want to say
that.
It's not that simple. But it is something where it's just like an alcoholic. You go to the Alcoholics Anonymous and they tell you, well, the very first thing you have to do is to admit that you have a problem. Well, it's the same thing with avoidant personality. If you want to get help, the first thing you have to do is admit you have a problem.
And that's a hard thing to do, because all of a sudden, if you know that you have a problem, and now you know everybody's telling you have a problem, and you're in a place where the professionals are telling you have a problem, and now it's time to step out of the problem boat and into a very unknown and unfamiliar territory, and you basically are taking off that mask. You're becoming more vulnerable than you've ever been in your whole entire life. There's probably going to be a few layers of anxiety that will come along with it. And that's where you need to have a good support group. And in our situation, I feel like I had to trust doctors and whatnot a little bit, and just trust knowing that, actually, I just had to trust the Lord. I had to trust the Lord that He would take care of you, because I knew that I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I had done my best, and my best was not even near good enough. And so if you're in that situation where you're kind of putting down your foot, you're saying, I can't be the crutch anymore, you're encouraging that person to get help if that person has hit rock bottom and now they're in the hands of someone like a professional, try not to mess with that. Let the just encourage that person. They're doing a good job. This is going to be for the best. And you know, try not to meddle in it, because in the midst of a relationship with being with somebody in avoidant personality disorder, as much as they've come up with coping mechanisms to live their life, now you have had to come up with coping mechanisms to be living your own life with this person. And I'll tell you what I did. I made a lot of excuses. My family, to my friends, I said, oh, he's just this, or he's just tired. Oh, he didn't want to come because he was working. Oh, yeah, you can come over, but, you know, he's just this or that or whatever, you know. And, oh, he said that. Oh, he didn't mean that. He just meant this. And so you find yourself covering for that person all of the time, because you see the good in the person. I mean, obviously there's something that drew you to that person, but in the midst of it all, you've had to set up your coping mechanisms. One of mine that's really hard is, you know, I really enjoy going out and doing things, but Philip doesn't necessarily have that outward, like he's more of an introvert. So being in a relationship with him, I've had to just go, well, I guess I'm going to either go alone, or I'll take my daughter, or I won't go. So there's things that in my life that I had to construct as a result of being in a relationship with somebody that dealt with those things too. So you know that now everything's exposed, and you have to get to the point where you start trusting the process, and you don't know where that's going to end, you know? We don't know where our story is going to end, really. Mm-hmm. I think we're both stronger, but we don't We don't know. That the strength is good.
And, you know, I did want to talk a little bit about helps. What can help? Because I get this question asked probably more so than anything else is, what can I do? What can I help? Either from the normal that's trying to be in the relationship with the avoidant personality, or the one with the avoidant personality that's trying to find some help out. And they kind of intermingle there because you both have the exact same goal. The normal person wants the avoidant to get help so that their relationship get better. The avoidant person, at least somewhere in there, is wanting to get help so that they stop hurting the normal. So you both really have the same goal, is to find some help. And, you know, there's not a lot out there in the way of positive about avoidant personality. Most places you go to out there on the internet and books and stuff, they all say the same thing. Well, there's absolutely no hope. There's no cure for avoidant personality, blah, blah, blah. And I'm here to tell you that they're wrong. I am living proof that it can be overcome. Now, just like Rebecca had said, and I said, there's always going to be some residual things. There's always going to be some patterns that you have to continually work through. Even God tells us that his mercies are new every morning, and that even though when you get saved, you ask God and Jesus into your heart, you become saved. Yes, but you have to continually work through this on a daily basis. And it's the same with avoidant personality or depression, or, you know, fill in the blank with whatever disorder. You may find healing from it, but you have to walk it out on a daily basis. There are things that old patterns or whatever that's going to come up that you have to continually deal with. If you don't continue to work on it, then guess what? You might fall back into it. So you have to continually work on these things day after day to say, hey, you know, I was a person with avoidant personality disorder. I'm not anymore. I'm healed. I'm going on with life. I'm better, and everything is better. Now, one of the things that I did want to say, the person with avoidant personality disorder, you are not your disorder. This is one of the things I usually harp on every single one of the podcast. And the reason is because it's such a critical thing. We tend to get into this rut of saying, you know, I am an avoidant. I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. I am whatever, you know, fill in the blank. And that is not the case. What you're doing when you say that is you're saying that I am this, therefore there's no hope for me. There's no help for me. It can't be done because that is who I am. And that's the wrong way of looking at this. The correct way is to say, you know, I just happen to be someone that has avoidant personality disorder. I just happen to be someone that has a problem with alcohol. I just happen to be someone that has a problem with drugs, or on and on and on, fill in the blank, whatever the issue is that you're dealing with. And what that does is that disconnects you from that thing. So all of a sudden that thing can now be attacked. It can be healed. It can be overcome. It can be dealt with. I hope that you can understand the distinction, because that's actually a very quick analogy, but it's a critical thing to separate yourself from that disorder. Other things that I have found that help, and these statistics are very difficult to come by. But for me, one of the things that helped a lot was nutrition. Now, I'm still not exactly the most nutritious person in the world, but nutrition, from what few people, or from the number of people that I have talked to that have avoidant personality, they tend to have a poor diet. Now, this is something a lot of people, they kind of shake their heads at and go, you know, really, it can't be that easy. But, you know, nutrition, it's the old adage of you are who you are what you eat. And nutrition is a huge, huge thing. And it can make all the difference in the world. Eating a healthy diet or just going out and getting a good quality vitamin definitely will help a lot. Now, I'm not saying that's the cure, but what I am saying is that that can be a huge help. And it's something that I highly recommend to anybody is to take a look at your diet and do something about that. Exercise, as Rebecca pointed out, it's always a good thing. Voicing yourself to get out there and do something, take a walk, you know, whatever. Exercise, again, seems like a small thing, but it really is, helps tremendously in the fight against these things. Writing things down, writing prayers. There's just something about writing it down that puts some extra power to these things. Just speaking them and praying is great, but often writing it down is just takes things to another level. So I highly recommend journaling. I highly recommend just writing down your struggles and things. Oh, I did want to get a little bit into an email that I received. And by the way, I did want to point out that this particular one came from London. I don't mention any names. Privacy is very important. But I wanted to mention that it came from somebody in London just because I think it's important to know that there are people that struggle with this all over the world. It's not just an American condition or what have you. These are lies. There are millions of people all over the world that that deal with this stuff. In the email, I'm just going to go through a little bit about that. It talked about getting a confirmed diagnosis of avoidant personality disorder, something that it's a bit of a two-edged sword, getting a diagnosis, because on the one hand, it's good to know yourself, to know what you're struggling with. But on the other hand, it can be a bit of a label. So like Rebecca said, a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I have avoidant personality disorder, so therefore I'm kind of going to live up to it sort of thing. Not on a conscious level, but it's something that can happen. So just something to be aware of. Personally, I recommend getting a diagnosis, but just something to be somewhat careful of is carrying around a label of that. In the email goes on to say that this particular couple is not married, but they've been together for 20 years. I don't know that I have too much to say to that. Marriage, I highly recommend marriage, but on the other hand, between a norm and avoidant personality, it's extremely difficult. Being together for 20 years seems like it should be a marriage to me. But I'm not going to judge there. Avoidant personality impacted every area of life, family, education, work, friendships, relationships. I definitely agree with every single one of those. Avoidant personality disorder affects everything. There's not an aspect of your life or that person's life that it's not going to affect. As Rebecca touched on, family, I never wanted to be around them. And it was because avoidant personality, I didn't want to be rejected. I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want to be, didn't want to feel like I was doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, wearing the wrong thing, you know, whatever. So, yeah, family, definite. I did not want to be around them. Education, I actually went to college several years back and didn't go very well for the same reason. I didn't want to raise my hand and get instruction from the professor. So it greatly affected my grades and affected my education. Work definitely affects work for typically find that most people that have avoidant personality, they usually find jobs like working from home or something of that nature, so they don't have to be socially active because they have that fear of authority, so they're not able to really function in a boss-employee relationship. Friendships. Relationships, you know, we've covered, that's definitely true. Not able to function much in any sort of friendships, relationships. My wife was always wanting to have friends over, but anytime friends would come over, I would just go into the back room and watch TV or something because I just didn't want to be around them. Again, same thing, didn't want to be judged, didn't want to feel like I was inferior. So the person wants to know, should I excuse or accept certain behavior? Should I say it's unacceptable? Wife talked a little bit about that. You know, it's a very difficult tightrope to walk because on the one hand, you don't want to accept behavior and say, hey, that's great, that's fine. But on the other hand, if you stand up to them and say, hey, this isn't acceptable, you should just get over it, that's going to just make things worse. Because there is no just getting over it. Just like you can't just flip a switch and poof, I'm better now. You know, I'm not going to behave that way anymore. It's not that simple. So, I'm not exactly sure on being excuse it versus accepting it, exactly how to, exactly what to say there. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think that this person needs to remember he or she is a vital part of that relationship. So you need to figure out what you want. And if you say, like, that's not acceptable to me, that's your truth, and it's okay to say that. And just know that that person's probably not going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, because if you go to that person and just say, this is not acceptable.
It's not what you say. I think it's how you say it. You know, it's, you know, like, okay, I understand that you are feeling this, that, and the other way about it. I want you to understand my point of view too, that this is not something that is, it doesn't jive with me. It doesn't feel right to me. It's an area that is a real struggle and it's a point of contention. And so I'm just kind of going to tell you that that's not okay. I don't enjoy the way this or whatever happens, but I bet you're probably going to have a little resistance in it. That person's they're going to flip it and say, well, you this or you that. And try to what I call level the playing field.
And, you know, that's a good point about framing things a certain way. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And that's, I think, probably the biggest thing that you can do. So we're trying to draw a little bit of a yes and no thing here. No, you should not accept behavior, and no, you should not excuse it, especially if it's becoming physical or violent or anything like that. It's definitely not okay. But you need to be very, very careful in how you say it. And yeah, it's not fair. You shouldn't have to, but if you're going to make a relationship work with the person with avoidant personality disorder, this is what you have to do.
Well, and you also have to look at your own self. Like, what do you want out of a relationship? If you want that person and you love that person and, you know, what are the positives about it, you know, then you're willing to work towards, what's the word, compromise. You're willing to work. Well, you know, he or she does this, but he does this. So I think there's a lot of trade-off that the person that's normal is going to have to establish. So to what end are you willing to do this?
You have to have a level of commitment. It has to be an extreme level of commitment, not just a level of commitment in a normal marital relationship or a normal relationship. It has to go way above and beyond that. Do you really want to put in the work to make this relationship work? Because the person with avoidant personality is going to require a huge amount of work. I don't want to be a downer about that, but I do want to be realistic. They're going to have a lot of work. It is tiring. And just ask Rebecca. She'll tell you how tiring it was dealing with me all of those years. And but this is the level of commitment you have to have. You're going to have to be extremely careful what you say and how you say it. It's more about how you say it.
Because that person will end up inevitably blocking you out, shutting down, then it's going to hurt the next person. And then it just becomes this really wicked cycle. And I think it's to this person who's wrote into us. They're living it out. They're walking it out. And you see what the cycle is. You see this person is on, like what you said, in the boxing ring saying, you can't do this. And that person just looks at you with this deer in a headlight, when the other person wants you to go, why? What can I do to make it better? Well, you're not probably going to get that, not right off the bat. And so you kind of have to stop that cycle. And you have to, again, just ask God for wisdom. How do you want me to handle this, Lord? Because it's really, really hard. I can't do it in my own strength.
And it's important to point out that it's not that that person doesn't want to. It's not that that person doesn't love you. It's not that that person doesn't want to reach out and heal things and mend the fence and take care of things and make them better. It's not that at all. It's that they're just incapable because of the extreme hurt that they have in their life. They feel the rejection on a gut-wrenching level, a level that's it's an entire makeup of their being. Is nothing but rejection.
And that's something that has to be healed, and that's something I would think a lot to myself, like, you don't need a savior. You have a savior. You have Jesus. I can't be the savior. And so there has to be a level of healing in that avoidant personality disorder person's life. I mean, on a cellular level, it has to have some healing.
Cellular level, I like that.
And yeah, because and so I guess also, if you really want to go to the ends of the earth to try to figure out this as a normal person, you just have to pray that somehow the Lord will show up and show off and just heal him or her at that cellular level where that's where it began, that ugliness that needs to be healed. It's not something that they've done to themselves, and you've got to get to the point of where that started. Where's the root? Where did it start? And we encourage people to do, there's a lot of ministries out there that will talk about restoration or talk about just really getting to the spiritual level of healing. And once that happens, I think a lot of other things can start shaking through. So as the normal, you have to be willing to pray that the Lord will heal that person even miraculously. I mean, even just that portion, just healing that cellular level rift, whatever's going on, so that that's where the healing can start, and then from there, everything else get stronger.
So it's exactly what we were talking about in the email. The person says that they bring up things that have profoundly hurt them, but they found it to be futile because they bring these things up and that other person, the person that has the avoidant personality disorder, they get mortally wounded and they just back off into the corner and hide, and they the ones that feel like they've been neglected and hurt. And they want to, again, it's the same thing. They want to, but they just can't because they're incapable. And Rebecca touched on a vital thing here. You know, it is prayer. And I would say if you want to understand that personal avoidant personality, well, you're going to have to ask God. And there's just no way around it. You know, a lot of things in life, there's things that you can survive in life without God. I hate to say that as a pastor, but unfortunately you can. You can survive in life without God. You won't survive for long.
Not eternally.
But you can survive at least in this life. But when it comes with avoidant personality, there's just no way around it. You have to have God. You have to go to God in prayer and ask. You humbly go to God and you say, hey, you know, I need to understand this person that has avoidant personality. Help me to understand. You cry out with everything in you and help me to understand. I need to understand what's going on with that person. I don't get it. It's hurting me. It's hurting them. What can you do to help me?
You know, because we are the body of Christ, you know, he might lead the normal to a place that maybe a therapist or somebody would kind of specialize in this area. I wish I would have had that access to me going through all of this, being able to just go to somebody that understood. Because if you go to a typical counselor or therapist that doesn't have any background or doesn't know a whole lot about this, mm-hmm. you're going to get the, you should just get out of there. He's never going to change. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people, friends of mine that have dealt with people that are in relationships with avoidance, you know. So as a normal, you have to have a good support system. Pray that the Lord would, you know, give you some support. And you might have to go to somebody, but don't go just to anybody. Don't go to your mom. They're going to protect you. Don't go to your family. They're going to think you're off your rock. Don't, you know, and sometimes it'll make it worse. Don't go to your friends. They love you and don't want to see you go through hell. They're going to tell you, you deserve better, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, you do, and that person can be better, but you need to have somebody that you can talk to. And to this person who wrote in, you know, any insight that you can offer about how to communicate without frustration from her side or his side and shutting down on the other, that's what you need to do. You need to ask God for wisdom. Show me, God, where to go, because you're kind of having to be the adult in the relationship.
You are, and it's, you know, there's just no easy way.
So if you're going to be in that relationship, be in it fully, and also you as the normal need to find someone who you can talk to that has the skills to navigate that territory.
Yes, find yourself some help. Find yourself a support system, because the normal person is unfortunately the one that's going to have to carry the big burden of the relationship. It stinks to say, but unfortunately that's the way it is, because the one with the avoidant personality is just totally incapable of functioning in any real level. Okay, there's a little bit more to the email, but I'm not going to be able to get to it today. I'm going to have to continue things next time because we are running out of time. So I'm going to have to start wrapping things up. So just the summary for today is find somebody to talk to, but be careful who you talk to. As Rebecca said, you can't always talk to family because they may not understand. You can't always rely on friends because they may not understand. You need to find yourself some sort of support system, though, to survive the relationship, because it's going to be hard. I don't want to be negative, but I do want to be realistic. It's not going to be simple to survive this relationship with the one who has avoidant personality disorder, because they are damaged beyond damage. They can get help. There's always help. There's always hope. That's why I'm here. I'm living proof that it can happen. You can be healed from avoidant personality, despite what everything that you're going to read out there that's going to say the otherwise. It's all a lie. There is help and there is healing in Jesus Christ, I promise you. It can happen. I want to give a quick prayer before we end, like I always do. Father, just touch this person, this relationship, the person that wrote in from London that's the normal, struggling with the person, the avoidant personality. Just give them help. Give them hope. Give them courage. Give them strength, because they're going to need all that. And the person that has avoidant personality disorder, help them to realize that they're hurting the other person in relationship and they don't want to do that anymore, and help them to start finding the help and hope that they need. Just ask in your name that you would just touch the relationship right now and start your healing process. And everybody else out there that's listening, that's going through these things, just touch them all and start the healing in Jesus' name. So I want to thank you, everybody that's came tonight or everybody that's listening. And we'll see you again next Wednesday.
This has been Renewing Your Mind with Philip and Rebecca Dacus. Find more resources at our website, avoidance.org. And join us again next time for Renewing Your Mind.
Hardships, difficulties, right now. Tears, storms, this is what I do.
I smile.
Woo.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Oh, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I'm in it for a while.
Still,
I smile.
See, I just don't want you to be happy. But then you gotta have something happen. You to have joy, because can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.